Brothers and sisters, this morning I'm reading from Scripture, the Message. It is a new translation, Luke, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5, and we are reading as from verse 29. Before we read, let us just sit like we are sitting now and bow our heads for a short moment in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are gathered here in your presence to honor and praise you. We, as your children, we enjoy it when you speak to us through your word. And our prayer today is that you will help us to really listen and understand when you speak. And moreover, to do and live according to your will. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 5. Let us start at verse 27. After this, he, that is Jesus, went out and saw a man named Levi at his work collecting taxes. Jesus said, "Come along with me." And he did, walked away from everything and went with him. Levi gave a large dinner at his home for Jesus. Everybody was there. Taxmen and other disreputable characters as guests at the dinner. The Pharisees and their religion scholars came to his disciples greatly offended. "What is he doing eating and drinking with crooks and sinners?" Jesus heard about it and spoke up. "Who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders, an invitation to a changed life. Changed inside and out." They ask him, "John's disciples are well known for keeping fasts and saying prayers, also the Pharisees, but you seem to spend most of your time at parties. Why?" Jesus said, "When you're celebrating a wedding, you don't skimp on the cake and wine. You feast. Later you may need to put in your belt, but this isn't the time. As long as the bride and groom are with you, you have a good time. When the groom is gone, the fasting can begin. No one throws cold water on a friendly bonfire. This is kingdom come. No one cuts up a fine silk scarf to patch old work clothes. You want fabrics that match. And you don't put wine in old cracked bottles. You get strong, clean bottles for your fresh vintage wine. And no one who has ever tasted fine aged wine prefers unaged wine." Brothers and sisters, in South Africa, 1994 was a watershed year. A very significant date. And in South Africa, we tend to focus at that date and say the time before that was the old South Africa, referring to apartheid and everything that went with it. And the days and the time that we are now in after, post-1994, is the new South Africa, with a new constitution, a new democracy, new government, and everything that ought to be new and nice. But many people looking at South Africa, even we that stay there, will be quick to tell you that everything is not so new as it is ought to be. Because many people trying to live new still carry over the old with them. And you will know that two different principles just don't go together. It will clash. And that's why you often have a lot of turmoil in South Africa. The new versus the old. That remembered me of another watershed date. Can I call it, in biblical terms, a Kairos watershed date? Kairos in the Bible, it means in Greek, a specific moment that God intervenes in the history of people. He creates a new time moment where he wants to do something specifically, like he did in 1994 in South Africa. That was in the beginning of our calendar, 2,000 years ago, in Bethlehem, in a manger, where he sent his son to be born, Jesus Christ. And today, when we take a look at our calendar, what do we say? BC and AC. Before Christ and after Christ. Before Christ, referring to the time when the people worshipped God in the old ways. According to the Old Testament, that we should not put away the Old Testament, it's still very, very applicable to today, but they tend just to do it their ways. Now, AC, after Christ, Jesus came, and it is expected from us, from God, from the church, and from the people out there, that we should look different as BC. But is that the case? When the world look at the Church of God, I often find in South Africa, I don't know if it is here in America the same, because as Willie said, you are such nice people, so friendly, you love one another. That, I believe that's true. But when the world take a look at us, they often shook their head. They say, oh my goodness, you're a Christian? I didn't know. Are you on a secret mission? Or, the way in which you live and what you say and what you do, that's not what I expect of an AC person after Christ. Something is missing. You should have been new. So we've got a problem. And this is the problem that Jesus addresses. He addresses it here at the dinner that Levi gave. There is a moment of the old and a moment of the new. The same that we addressed this morning of Vox Viva. After the 7th of November, nothing will be the same again, not even here in Cocoa Beach Community Church. Dr. Fred is a year older. There's a new company, he's president of it, and we are going back to do something in South Africa. But Jesus tried to get the message through. The new versus the old. And I want to convey a few thoughts on this topic to you this morning. I don't know the culture of America as I know the culture of South Africa, but what I want to convey to you is what I really think the Lord has put on my heart. And I think what Jesus is trying to tell the Pharisees. When he speaks about the new versus the old, he focuses on two aspects. The things on the outside and the things on the inside. Let's just take a look at it. Now, in the message, it says, Luke 5, verse 36, 37, 38. No one cuts up a fine silk scarf to patch old work clothes. You want fabrics that match. And you don't put wine in old cracked bottles. You get strong, clean bottles for your fresh vintage wine. And no one who has ever tasted fine aged wine prefers unaged wine. First of all, the things on the outside. New clothes and old clothes. In the days of Jesus, it was very important to the Jews, these things on the outside. The way in which they walked, the way in which they talked, the way in which they thought, acted, and even the way in which they clothed themselves. Everything was directly in relation towards their relationship with God. They wanted people to know, we are the chosen people of God. That's why we do it this way. This is our tradition. Nothing else matters for God. Therefore, we can understand the Pharisees being grudgy, grumpy with Jesus, complaining to his disciples there at the dinner at Levi's. What does this man think he's doing? How is it possible that somebody who calls himself the Son of God socializes with a tax collector? He's a thief. And even sinners. No. This is not how it should be done. We haven't been taught that way. This is not our tradition. This is not our culture. We cannot accept it. Trust Jesus to put things in perspective. He refers to a parable well known by the Jews. Pharisees, let me share something with you. When you have old clothes that are torn and you want to patch it, you will never ever take a piece of a new garment, or as it's called here, is called a fine silk scarf. You will not torn that new garment or that silk scarf. You will not torn off a piece and patch it on that old torn cloth. Why not? Well, the two pieces doesn't match. The color don't match. The fabrics don't match. And most probably, that old cloth will be torn again. The new one will not be there for too long. And now you've got a double problem. The new scarf or the new cloth has been torn. You cannot use that, and you cannot use the old one. What is he trying to tell them? You see, when you are so set in your own ways of trying to please God, in the ways of your old tradition, we do it this way, whatever happens, even if God doesn't agree with that, that is the way it should be done. It's like an old cloth. We only take pieces of what God is giving to us through his word. We'll only accept this and that, but for the rest, God, I'm not interested. I want to do it my way. You remember that song? We want to do it my way. Yes, we are okay with the healings. We are okay with the blessings, especially if money is involved. We're okay with everything else, but please don't tell us to love one another. Don't tell us to do this or that according to your kingdom principles. Then we're not interested. So Jesus is telling the Pharisees, take a hard look at the way in which you do and say things, at your traditions. If this really, those traditions are really pleasing to God. And today, while we gather here around the table of the Lord, I was thinking by myself, not how does the world look at us, not how does the South Africans look at me, how does God, through Jesus, through his Spirit, look at me? Because many people say, well, God, yes, we have your Bible here, but you know, there are certain pieces in the Bible that I don't really think should have been in here. You know, the book of Jonah, it's just a story. Take it out. Cut it out. And that story of Jesus being born out of a virgin, you know, it can't be. My reason tells me this is not possible. And, you know, all those parables that Jesus taught, that is just things that he told his disciples, you know, to soothe them, nice evening stories before they went to bed. Take it out. And all the miracles, no ways those things can happen. Especially not in America, because America can do everything, it seems to me. Everything is big, my goodness, the big hamburgers. And the big cold drinks, you know, when we order, believe myself, a cold drink in South Africa, we are used to a small cup like this. Now it's a big thing like this. My stomach can't, you know, accommodate it. But God, you know, these things are okay with me. But don't tell me from your word how to live. And you know, God, we as a church, this is the way in which we worship God. This is the way in which we stand. Now we bow our heads. And other people who do it differently, they are wrong. We are right. And when people throw their hands up in the air when they praise God, they are wrong. We are right that we don't do it. And when people speak in tongues, they are wrong. We are right in not doing it. Or we are right in doing it and they are wrong in not doing it. Can you see what's happening? A lot of traditions. We do it this way. And that is the only way. And there's no way for God to work in the church and the congregation, in his people. And Jesus says, no, no. You cannot just patch your Christian life with things that he told us. It's either all of him or nothing of him. So, what must we do? Listen to him, the big merchant of God, saying in Revelation 3, verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me white clothes to cover your nakedness. Because if you do it your way, and only your way might stand between you and God, and you will stand naked before him. I think Jesus laments we as human beings always choosing the wrong instead of the right, the bad instead of the good, the lies of Satan instead of the truth of God. So how do we get these white loaves? Very easy. Read Galatians 3 verse 27 where Paul writes to the church of his time and he says, those of you who are baptized in Christ, those of you have clothed yourself with Christ. So you see what Jesus is telling the Pharisees. Pharisees, just for the moment, set aside all the things that you think is right. All your traditional ways of praising God. And open your hearts for me, Christ, the Son of God, to come in. To clothe you with the heavenly garment of God. So that when people look at you, they will say, there, I'm welcome. Despite the difference in traditions. Despite the different ways in which one think and say and pray and whatever the case might be. But I'm welcome there because Christ is there. Therefore, I can enjoy the communion today. I can drink the wine. I can eat the bread. Because this will show the world we are clothed in the garment of Him whose death we are thinking about when we partake in this communion. Secondly, this was the outward things. Jesus also focused on things on the inside. Listen what He says. You don't put wine in old cracked bottles. You get strong, clean bottles for your fresh vintage wine. That word fresh is difficult to pronounce. Fresh vintage wine. And no one who has ever tasted fine aged wine prefers unaged wine. In the days of Jesus, the wine sacks, the wine skins in which they poured the wine, were made from the skins of goats, and it was sewn together at the edges so that it was watertight. And now you poured in the new wine in those wine skins, and there were even clay bottles where you poured in the wine. Now, as you might know, those of you who know a little bit about wine, new wine ferment over a time period of perhaps 3 months, and gases are given off, and that wine skin expands to a maximum potential. The same happens to this clay bottle. And after about 3 months, the wine is poured out and you drink it. It's fine and fantastic. Now the problem comes when you throw in new wine because it cannot expand anymore. What happens? The wine skins crack, the clay bottles crack, and the wine flows in the ground. You cannot use it anymore. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you know, your lives are like wine skins and bottles. Cracked. Because you are so full of old teachings that the new teaching of the kingdom of God, the new wine that's poured into your life, cannot be absorbed. It's just flowing through the cracks of your life. What a terrible state to be in. Oh, for a church. Oh, for a congregation. Oh, for a person whose life is open for the wonderful wine of the kingdom of love to God and love to your neighbor. Oh, for a message of mercy and truth. Oh, for the love of God teaching us kingdom wine that we should truthfully walk with Him day by day in everything we do until He comes to take us home. So, what does Jesus ask? New wineskin lives, new jar lives, open to His message. To go and live the message of the new wine of the kingdom of God. Then we can use the bread and the wine this morning. Because by using this, we tell the world, there's a new message within us. God's message that will flow day by day. Not only in this church, but here in Cocoa Beach, in America. Back with us to South Africa. And people can start drinking from that wine flowing through your and my life. And you know what? The AC people will rise again. Never, ever will things be the same again. There will be people coming to you and me and saying, wow, I want to go with you because I can see Christ is in you. Therefore, nothing can happen on the outside if it didn't happen on the inside. Open up your lives. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, Dr. Fred preached about it last Sunday, said, when somebody is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. Everything became new, all the old is done with. Your relationships will be totally new with God, with the church, with one another, with your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your husband, your wife. And the world will see the people of God rising again in these times, bringing, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. So we are leaving on Wednesday. You are staying behind. But I know there is a tie, a bond between us in Jesus Christ. And we pray for you that God will use you as his new wineskin people, clothed in the garment of heaven, Jesus Christ. Cocoa Beach will never be the same. And we take this message for ourselves. We go back to South Africa, and we'll do the same with all the open doors that God has given us. And when we greet one another, let us say, in dedication, take my life and let it be, God, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Amen. Dear God, here we are today. Clothe us then with new clothes, the clothes of Christ himself. Pour the new wine of your kingdom into our lives, into my life, into this congregation's life. And then we will go and live as your image bearers, the AC people, as you intend us to be. Amen.